All right, Skeet's going to tell us about trapping the bobcat in the middle of that lake, Mount Riga Lake, where that flat rock was, and you saw the droppings?
Way this side of the lake.
Way this side, okay. Well, and you told your brother, you killed the duck.
I shot the duck, I know. I threw a reservoir and a rifle, which was against the law. But I'm a law-abiding citizen.
Right. Definitely.
So anyway, I went up there, and there was this long, flat ledge.
Yeah.
Not high, you know, just flat.
Yeah.
The ground.
Yeah.
And it had a green moss on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I go up there. Those flat rocks, but this long, this thick. So I took and I made a cubby.
What's that, like a little house?
Like a little building.
Yeah.
Square.
Yeah. How big?
Oh, about 3.5 foot long.
Okay.
And about this wide.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing all this work? He said, you want to catch that bobcat? I said, you watch. So anyway, I got it all. You have to plug every hole, and you can't pitch it so he can tear it apart either.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to lug it. So I go way down on the other end of the ledge.
Yeah.
That moss.
Mm-hmm.
Took my knife. I cut a big long piece sheet of moss. I rolled it up. That moss was only that thick.
Right.
Very, just very thin.
Quarter of an inch.
Yeah, not a quarter either.
Yeah, not even that.
So I rolled that up and brought it up and laid it down where I wanted to sit. Then I cut me a drag about 12 foot long.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took this wire, trapping wire. It's very pliable.
Mm-hmm.
And I stuck that pole in that cubby.
Yep.
About this far.
Mm-hmm. Just a little ways into it.
Just a little ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I set my trap.
Uh-huh.
And I put it inside the cubby in the middle.
Mm-hmm. You didn't use bait here again? Yet.
Yeah.
Yet. So that's what the duck's for.
So I took the duck,
mm-hmm.
and I jumped him up the back end of that cubby. Here's a cubby shaped like that too.
Yeah.
Back in here. I kind of tore him up a little.
Yeah.
Then I cut off his wing. And there was a little tree,
mm-hmm.
about that big around. Here's the cubby. And the tree was about there, about 8-10 inches ahead of the cubby.
Yeah.
I cut some of the bottom limbs off.
Yeah.
And I took string that I had. I always had string in my hunt coat. And I tied it to one of them little wings that come out. That wind would blow that wing and...
Oh my gosh!
It would go like that.
So you were relying on their eyes rather than smell. I thought maybe you'd be heading for the scent, but...
No, you see, that was an attractor.
Yeah, okay. Cat's her eye.
So I figured...
Yeah?
He'll see that, mm-hmm. and he's coming over here.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I was coming anywhere,
yeah.
you'll see it. It'll attract him up there.
Sure.
then he'll get a smell of that
duck wing, yeah.
That I got in that cubby. Because I opened it right up. So the meat would be there.
Yeah.
And then I took and covered the whole bottom of that thing with that thin moss. Pole and all.
Yes.
All the way out. Mm-hmm. It all looked just as natural.
Yeah.
As anything could be.
Mm-hmm.
Even with those stones that I put on the top and the side.
Yeah.
Make the moss up on top of it.
Oh my gosh.
Which didn't take long.
No, it didn't.
Oh no, because that moss tore right up.
Yeah, easy. Right.
Just like carpet.
Right, right.
And
so you covered the whole thing.
Covered the whole bottom of
it.
And the pole and everything. Well, this day, it's on a Sunday, I went. Every morning, very early, but up there in the, you can't go only just so close to it. And I'd look. Now, a bobcat, same way with an otter. When he goes, he goes pretty near that same route all along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this Sunday, I said to Kern, I call him my brother. Mm-hmm. I always called him Kern, and they were just.
Yeah, it's nice.
I Kern, I said, I'll go look at that bobcat truck. So he said, yeah, I said, we might just well take a walk anyway. He says, I'm going to make some sets for otters up on the first pond.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going up on grassy there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can trap on, but you have to have a permit. Carry a gun on Sunday, which I got a pistol permit.
Yes.
Carried a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
Like that pistol permit don't run out until 92.
Oh yeah.
And so, all right, Kern, I says I got something. Drag's gone. That pole. Mm-hmm. Drag is gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We looked around on part of the ledge. There was a big hemlock tree. About you hear that old tree of mine?
Yeah.
From it.
Right.
And I seen that pole
hanging,
sticking out from underneath that.
Oh, underneath. Okay.
Underneath the boughs, because the boughs went right down to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we told one of them bows, and I picked it up, and of all the snarling and growling you've ever seen in your life.
There he was.
There he was.
Full grown one.
Well,
pretty big anyway.
Well, he weighed probably 25 pounds.
Yeah.
And, I forgot my pistol. But I had I got two saws, little mm-hmm. saws that I. So I cut that limb off.
Yeah.
And let it right down on him.
Mhm. Mhm.
And then.
No.
He was right out in the open then.
Yeah.
But I put the thing so that he couldn't get into me.
Yes.
The hemlock bow. So I cut a switch, just about that long,
mm-hmm.
3.5 feet long. And I cut a club about that big around, about the same length.
Couple inches, yeah, right.
I put that right out on his foot and his nose like that.
Yeah, right, how they
foot,
do.
The foot that wasn't caught.
Grabbed at the bow.
Boy, him.
And you let him have it.
I come down on his head, and he glanced off into his head and hit his foot and knocked him out of the trap.
Oh, no!
And, jeez, he lay there at ground, he hadn't come to yet, and then I really put it right to him and killed him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And,
what was your brother doing, watching?
Yeah.
He let you do it all by yourself.
Well, he...
he stayed out of the way.
He helped with that bow and things.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And,
oh my gosh. Now that's really the way, I mean, you did that all totally by yourself, no help with the pistol.
No.
So it's really you versus the...
I had to kill him.
Yeah.
I had to kill him with a club.
Right, right. Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. So, had quite a time.
That is something.
But I got him.
You did? No, I just can't believe it.
And,
so you brought him home.
Brought him home. Hardest thing to skin in this world.
Why? I mean...
there's not one bit of fat on him.
Oh.
Oh, just like...
so you got to pull it away from the muscle and...
everything.
Yeah.
Everything. You know...
does he have a nice skin? I mean, is the fur nice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know Mr. Harney.
Yes.
John Harney, his
yeah.
son.
Yeah.
Was here not too long ago.
Oh, yeah?
From out west. And you want me to teach him trap. I did.
Oh, okay.
Him to trap.
Yeah.
I set some traps. I set one trap and I said, John, I'm going to set a trap down amongst them ledges there. You'll see a big pole that I got for drag. Now, if I says if that pole ain't there,
mm-hmm.
you walk up and down that brook or along the banks. So I expect an otter. Catch an otter there.
Mm-hmm.
So we went, he went. I couldn't go this day. I looked at it a couple of times and didn't have anything because he hadn't come back yet. Because I knew, I seen the signs on,
mm-hmm.
on the wet rock.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to look at his traps up at Twin Lakes on the Round Pond down at Salisbury School Boathouse.
Right.
I said, well, you're about it, John. Go down in them ledges and see if that drag is still there. If it ain't there, I says, you hunt for that. There'd be an otter in there. So when he went down through, the drag was gone. And he couldn't find it. He walked right down the center of the brook and he couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So he went down to look at his traps so that anything was in it, he wouldn't lose it. Oh, I guess he got two or three mush rats. When he come back, and I let him use my 22 rifle.
Mm-hmm.
When he came back, he looked around. Finally, hearing something go. Looked up on the bank, and there was that great big otter.
Oh my gosh.
And I used to shoot coons in my traps, and he used to watch me.
Mm-hmm.
I walked right up to a coon, I put it in his face like that. Mm-hmm. I'd hold a rifle right over his head just like that and shoot him like that.
Yeah, right over, while he's distracted. Yeah.
So John walked up just as brave as anything. He was caught, he thought he was caught in that clump of brush.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the clump of brush about there. There's the brook about there.
Yeah.
John walked up and that otter was going to shoot him. That otter took right off right in the air, hit him right in the chest.
Oh my gosh, he really came
at him. Ripped his hunting coat, knocked him in the brook, drug that drag right up through his face.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Scared him just about to death.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Come back here. He drove Strucker down there. I says, I looked down, his face was just as red as that jacket you got.
Yeah.
I said, what the hell happened to you? I said, by Jesus, he says you come out here in the truck and look. He said, that entrepreneur killed me. I said, why, what's the matter with you? The armor had a couple of scratches on him.
Yeah,
his clothes,
I think.
His clothes here was
I would think
ripped,
so with this this guy. Oh, no.
He says, I walked up to that otter. He says, like you shoot coon there. I said, you'll never walk up to an otter or a bobcat. Jesus, I says, you can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
oh, no.
Anyway.
Now he knows.
Now he knows. And he was here, oh, just a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
He come out from Colorado,
mm-hmm.
Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his wife stopped in to see me.
Yeah.
Got a little girl.
Yeah.
He says, what do you think of my little daughter? His wife sat down. They could not do one thing with that kid. Spoiled. Oh, the kid with that bloody garbage. Couldn't do anything. Oh, Lord. That poor woman sat there in that corner on there. That kid was taking them glass things out of my class. There.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
I sat here half an hour. She was tickled to go.
Yes, right.
Oh, boy.
Well, for
and then I told John. He said,
oh, my
nice
goodness.
Little fella. Yeah, but I said, he's spoiled.
Oh, that's right. And you tell him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. You also used to catch hare, you said. Rabbits, right? Could you trap them too? You said one year that they were so bad around here that they were killing the apple trees and the.
Oh, that was jackrabbits.
Okay. Well, a hare.
Yeah,
you know, I thought
we used to hunt.
They aren't around too much now, though,
well,
are they?
We ain't got too many of them now. I don't think there's any around.
Yeah.
Here. They used to chew the.
But you'd hunt those. You didn't trap a rabbit.
No, yeah. Didn't trap a rabbit.
Yeah.
We used to have a dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't. Have a dog, but Charlie McClinn and the Meliuses up here, and you know the girl who works in the bank,
yes.
The blonde haired girl.
Mm-hmm.
She married live up the reservoir road.
Not Tunsie.
No,
Linda was the one I was thinking
the
of.
The other one, the blonde haired girl.
Rose Janito?
Yeah, Rose Janito.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an awful good fox dog, a jackrabbit dog.
Yeah.
And I was about 18. And I could run miles. That's so honest. I was so used to being in these woods.
Right.
Just as hard as a piece of iron.
Right, right.
I could run up a hill and down a hill. Well, that dog,
mm-hmm.
he used to run these jackrabbits or a fox.
Mm-hmm.
What a jackrabbit used to do, fool a dog, he'd run out up here just like this.
Right.
Then he'd come back on his own track.
Oh.
And jump off.
Oh, yes.
So the dog
would lose the scent.
And that dog would go way up in here where as far as that jackrabbit went. And he'd run right in circles there.
Yeah.
Couldn't find
right.
it.
Couldn't, he lost it. Yeah.
He wouldn't come back here all
no.
this way.
So. No. Right.
So.
Clever.
So I used to run and I'd come up there, and I know what a jackrabbit did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd grab him by the collar, and now...
Pull him back around.
Yeah. Now that dog, if I went up to his coop,
mm-hmm.
up to the Meliuses, he'd bite me. He had three fox dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I forget the name of them, anyway. They bite you. There was mean.
Yeah.
And but if you was hunting with them,
mm-hmm. they were fine.
They wouldn't bother you.
Mm-hmm.
I took him by his collar. I took him out through here because I found where the jackrabbit jumped off.
Yeah, you could see the ground, or you picked up the track.
Yeah, but it was on snow.
Okay.
You hunt
oh,
in the snow,
I'm thinking. Yeah.
The
okay.
Time.
Okay. The snow.
And the jackrabbit jumped from here to that window over there.
Yeah, quite far.
Long ways. And I'd take him and I'd put him on the track, and then he'd begin to bark again. And them fellas was waiting on these, where we pretty near started, because a jackrabbit will run in a circle,
mm-hmm.
make a big circle.
Mm-hmm.
They'll run that circle about three times. If you don't get him the third time, you might just won't. Because he'll go on the line then, he'd run from one mountain to the other and run out of the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we knew just about where the jackrabbit would run. And so then I followed the jackrabbit, the dog, running along. And Johnny McClain, you know where Bart Mateth is up here?
Yes.
Bart Mateth. You know that house where the surveyor lives?
Yes.
All right. Just this side is a little knoll
mm-hmm.
to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Jackrabbit always used to come down through there. And jump out onto the road. Now you're going to ask me why.
What?
He'd run that road.
Really?
Because there was horse manure in it, where the teams of horses went up and down
sure.
the road.
Sure.
And the dog couldn't follow a scent.
Oh, for heaven's
There's
sake.
There's all them kind of things
yeah.
that you have to learn and know.
Yeah, right.
And you got
I don't know how the rabbit learned it, but...
Well, you know. They know. Jackrabbit's smart. But
yeah.
they, any animals is smart.
Oh,
you've got
gosh.
To give them credit.
Yeah.
But I used to have lots and lots of fun doing things.
As long as I got you on the jackrabbits, can you tell me my that favorite story about how you, when they had a bounty of 50 cents on every pair of ears... And you and your friend, I forgot his name.
Gene Doty.
Gene Doty, okay.
Gene Doty.
Well, and you guys were just kids.
Yeah, we was about 10, 12 years old. There's a dump down here by the ski jump.
Right.
And you go over in there and the town stores used to dump their stuff down
mm-hmm.
there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all of it, well, it was all these people who lived on that street used to dump stuff in there. It's a big dump. So we went down one day, I and Gene, and picked up these bunches of jackrabbit's ears, all tied up in bundles.
They'd been there a while, probably kind of stiff.
Well, I'll tell you, a jackrabbit's hide is thin,
mm-hmm.
and they'll dry right up, and they never smell.
Oh,
see, because
that's fortunate.
Yeah. And so we, I said to Gene, taking a pair of the jackrabbit's ears.
Because the town clerk was offering you 50 cents for every pair.
50 cents for every pair. Everybody
wow.
got 50
right,
cents
about
per pair because
yeah.
they wanted to get them jackrabbits killed off.
Yeah.
So it was in wintertime, you know.
Sure.
They didn't know what.
Right.
They've been we shot them.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense.
What they ought to have done is took them.
Snipped them or something. So they marked them.
Marked her ear, but they never did. They,
yeah.
And there was a town clerk up here by the name of Carrie Conklin.
Carrie Conklin, okay.
She
before Lila Nash.
Oh, long before. She had her office right there in that building, the next building beyond the drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
In there, she had that's where that was a town clerk's office.
Right, it wasn't part of the town hall the way it
she
now
didn't
is.
She didn't know. She did. She was
yeah.
in there.
Okay.
So, Gene would take in a couple pair and then get a dollar.
Get his dollar. Yeah.
That was a lot of money then.
Yeah, of course it was. Boy, oh boy, you could do something with
we
that.
We could go to the movies 10 times because movies only cost
only
11 cents.
11 cents. Oh boy.
And, so then
where
I,
were the movies? Here in town, or did you have to go
Lakeville?
Lakeville,
right there by the old station building.
Okay,
right across.
That's when the movies were.
There was a big movie.
Yeah.
Used to cost 11 cents to go to a movie.
How'd you get from here to there? Bicycle,
walk.
You did
walk.
Okay, yeah.
You used to walk.
Yeah.
And so
you did. You took some in too, probably.
We took in probably. 40 pair.
Oh my gosh.
We took in about 40
That's
pair, but
bucks
we were worth. Smart enough so not to take into a bunch of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, well, Bruce Ostrander, he was a child, his name was Doty, they named him Doty, but didn't know who his father was.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandfather and grandmother brought him up.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a poor kid.
Mm-hmm.
And him and I used to chum around together. We used to ride down that brook
mm-hmm.
on a block of ice.
You could ride the ice?
Oh, yeah. We'd float down the brook iron.
Oh, my gosh.
And if it broke or something, we fell in, then it was different. We only went this far.
Yeah, because it'd be hard to stay on the block of ice.
Or, well, some of them blocks of ice look big as that site there. Big, big.
Real big.
Yeah.
And there was enough water to float. You didn't hit the rocks all the time.
There was no rocks.
Oh, no
there
rocks.
No rocks in that brook.
Oh.
That was altogether a different country.
Yeah.
This was all, that was all fields. This was all fields.
Right,
all
right.
All this country was
right.
fields.
Yeah.
And I could see right down to Allison Blackman's farm.
Oh, you could?
You could.
No trees. It's just...
No. And just all cattle.
Yeah.
And, it was altogether different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as soon as the trees start to come up, it changes it totally. But it's hard to believe that the brook would have changed that much, that the stones or the boulders wouldn't be there. I mean, they get moved and changed, but...
The only boulders that's in that brook is down here by this mountain.
Mm-hmm. I probably never looked close enough.
Then you get some stones.
Okay, I probably just never looked close enough at the part you used.
Yeah.
So you could float on those ice...
Up by the ski jump, you walk that brook, there's all...
That's right, it is good there. It is good there. I was thinking of a different part.
No, that's where we used to do it.
Oh, that's great.
We used to get on them things. We used to be hellers, you might say.
Yeah, but that's good fun. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh. But anyway, you said your friend got over anxious one day and took in too many ears.
Yeah,
and the town,
he did.
Miss Conklin caught on to him.
He took in 4 or 5 set.
In the summer.
Yeah, he said in the spring.
Yeah.
Well, in the spring, after Jack grabbed it.
The season's gone.
She said, gee, where are you getting these ears?
So did he fess up?
Oh, he wouldn't tell.
Oh, he just smiled.
Yeah,
but you didn't go in with that.
No, I would go into it with a couple of pair probably.
Yeah.
Oh, once in 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Gene got a little greedy because he took half of the ears home. I took half. You know where I hit him?
No.
In the outside toilet. Up in the peak, I put a board up in there, and I put them so my brothers and them wouldn't get a hold of them.
Oh, my goodness. That's a good, great place.
Boy, I'm telling you, had to be real good them days.
I know what else I wanted to ask you, too. You said when you went up Mount Rigi, your dad took up the groceries and the mail.
Yeah.
And with the team. Now, you'd go up with him a lot of times on the wagon and get a ride.
Yeah, a lot of times I'd ride with my father.
Yeah.
And you see, he'd go around, he'd go up to Judge Warner's.
Yes.
DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Donald J.
Mm-hmm.
Camp First. Then there was Swabs. There was all them big camps.
Yes.
There wasn't as many camps up there then.
Mm-hmm.
They all had ice houses,
mm-hmm.
and I would go up, right up with my father, and he would come back. He'd bring up the mail into them places, and my father was younger then, you know,
mm-hmm.
Probably 40, something like that,
mm-hmm.
35, 40, and he used to be a great friend of a fellow by the name of John Peabody. Which their people was from the mountain. They used to have a big place down here and then have camp up there.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil Warner.
Yeah.
And were great friends. And they used to have clam bakes down here in Indian Cave. Now that was all open. They used to even play baseball down through them woods.
Right.
It's all field there.
Boy.
That's how
it looks flat. I mean, you can tell the land is very flat.
Get down there, go below there, and it was all flat.
Yeah.
They used to play baseball and everything. And they'd have a big pit. I can show you the pit today.
Where'd they get the clams, though? They have to get those from the Atlantic. The ocean?
Oh, they
New York?
They got clams.
Or Boston
the
or
Warners
something.
The Warners and them got the clams.
Yeah.
You know, and they used to, probably they could get... For a bushel, they don't probably have to pay $2-3.
Yeah, probably.
And they had clams.
And then they made this pit.
They made this pit. They had a big tub.
Mm-hmm.
They put it down in there on blocks, some kind of blocks or stones or something. And they steamed the clams.
Mm.
They used to wrap them in cheesecloth. Put them in cheesecloth
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
and steam them,
mm-hmm.
and then they had kegs of beer,
Corn maybe on the cob? Corn on the cob?
Corn, all that stuff, baked potatoes, and all that kind of stuff.
And lots of people. I mean, who, all their friends came from the town?
Yes, it was all over. It was lots of people. Like, I used to love to go there.
Yeah.
Well, I remember what I done, not only I, but a lot of the kids that went.
Mm-hmm.
If the catcher missed a ball and it went up through the lot, we used to get it and throw it back to him.
Yeah.
And things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or if they hit a foul ball.
Mm-hmm. You could get it.
He could get it, you know. And we used to, a lot of times, drag wood out of the woods. Up in there, all that mountain was woods.
Sure. They hadn't clear cut that.
No. And things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a shame
mm-hmm.
that they took it, that they took that bridge down here. It used mm-hmm. to be a bridge. Some of the railroad rails are there yet. And I don't think that they had a right to.
Mm-hmm. Where did it go? Across the brook?
It went right across the brook. You could drive a car across it, or a wagon.
Yeah.
It used to be an old road, come right around the bottom of that mountain, Falls Mountain, come over Falls Village, mm-hmm. Falls Village, Falls Mountain Road,
right.
And it come right down to that big state right down there to the bottom of, on that sharp curb just this side of where Georgie Minor lives there,
mm-hmm. Yes.
The sign.
Right.
And then it followed right along the bottom of that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Come right around through there, cross that bridge, up mm-hmm. that road over there where Isabel Decker and them live,
yeah.
and come right up to the street.
Right.
Well, that was a right-of-way.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of it was the Indian Cave Road.
Okay.
So they the state police, I don't know which one, but yeah. they bought some property out of there, and they tore that bridge out of there.
Mm. Maybe unsafe, or they, I don't know.
I don't know.
What reason they gave.
I don't know whether they had a right to do it or not.
Yeah.
And, but that.
But
that,
you say the railroad ties, you know now where the bridge, there's still signs of where the bridge was.
Yeah, you've seen it. Have you been down that road?
Not that, I don't know it that well, so I guess I'll have to look.
Well, there's a cement foundation over on the other side, one on this side where the bridge was.
Yeah. Hmm.
And it was a shame because, everybody used to go. That was a regular thing that people was heard of, the Indian Cave.
Yeah.
It's a big ledge. You ever been to it?
No, I haven't been to that either.
It's a big ledge that comes out like that, and it's an overhang. And I and another fella dug down about that far, and we hit ash.
Yes.
And we got a broken piece of pottery.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we didn't hit anything good.
No. No, but you can tell.
We dug an X in there.
Yeah.
And that was Indian territory, now right out here in this field.
Yes.
And they used to plow it.
Mm-hmm.
Or disc harrow it. There's about three spots. Oh, probably 25 or 30 feet across them. That's where the Indians used to be.
All right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There'd be one here, and then from here, across my brook, be another.
Mm-hmm.
Another right on that field.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I never dug over there or anything, but I knew what that was.
Yeah.
That was an Indian site.
Sure. Well, it makes sense. Down here near the water.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's this house now is sitting right on a, just like a stone wall. It's all gravel, all stones,
yeah.
Hardly any dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs right out through there.
Mm-hmm.
If it rains, you never can see a puddle here.
Just goes right down.
Goes right down. The only field that's got any substance, like clay,
mm-hmm.
is that just across that bridge and down through there. That's all yellow clay.
Hmm.
The reason I know That brook used to run that way. It didn't run straight.
Yes.
It used to turn and go crooked down there, and it used to run into that brook that comes from Lakeville.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when there used to be a few trees, just single trees, down through there, and we made a big swimming hole.
By damming up the...
Yeah, and the clay was about that far under the topsoil, that yellow clay.
Wow, so about 18 inches down or so.
Well,
yeah.
And we used to take, we had a deep hole, oh, as deep as our head.
Yeah.
And we dug all that, some trough that wide.
Yeah.
But they're all out and made the bank, oh, as high as, pretty near as high as that cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Then we used to splash water upon that clay.
Yes.
And we all used to all go swimming naked.
Yeah, right, there. Right.
We'd run and sit on that clay and
go
get into that water.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's as good as the salt pork on the wood chute.
Yeah, yeah. And
oh, wonderful.
All those things, you know. We used to steal potatoes.
Yeah.
Out of big guy had a big garden over here, and he had quite a field of potatoes.
Yeah.
He didn't have any children,
mm-hmm.
but he had about half acre potatoes. So us kids would go in them hills, we'd dig the potatoes out, and then we'd set the tops back. So he noticed all them hills of potatoes was always dry. So we'd build a fire. We had a fire, and we'd wait the fire burn down. We'd throw them potatoes in the coals.
Oh, yeah, wonderful.
Let them bake.
Mm-hmm.
We'd cover them up with them coals.
Mm-hmm.
And right here, Johnny Du Bois was laying down on his stomach outside of that fire. My brother Jesse.
Yeah.
My brother Earl.
Yeah.
And, oh, Jean Doty, oh, 6-8 of us. And so, bent over, pawing out them potatoes.
Yeah.
Here, John. John says, I draw on them. And he was looking right up like that. And who should be there but the guy that owned them potatoes. He says, fellas, would you do me a favor? He says, take one, John. Take one. He says, if you fellas would do me a favor, he said, don't dig my potatoes out. He says, I've got 5 or 6 barrels over home, and you stop the house. There used to be 3 stucco houses in that field over there.
Yeah.
You stop in the house, and says, no woman, you tell him, I said, you could have, and I'll tell her, and she'd give you all the potatoes you want. Don't steal my potatoes. He says, well, I have to have them for winter.
Yeah.
And which I did, yeah, you know, you had to live off the ground, and they...
Sure, right, you needed those.
Yeah. So...
after that you did that.
Yeah. We'd go over, and she'd give us a great big old paper bag, right chuck full.
Wonderful.
We never dug no more of his potatoes. But we never was like the kids are today.
No. I mean, no, it wasn't harmful. I mean, you were snitching them, but
we,
you know, once you could have...
no trouble.
Yeah, it
never
wasn't hurting anybody.
Trouble. We might go into a peach orchard once in a while at night and steal a few peaches.
Yeah, right.
We'd go down back of the library and eat them or places like that, but...
Was that library here, the Scoville Library, was here for a long time? How old is that?
I think that library was being built. I think it... about the time that I was born.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
1908.
Yeah.
Or maybe started a little before.
Mm-hmm. And the Scoville family built that, right, for the town? Is
now,
that how that...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. That's
Scoville,
what I heard.
Scoville Memorial library.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that they were good people.
Mm-hmm.
Scholes mm-hmm. were, Warners were.
Yeah.
There were all these people that had were well-to-do.
Right.
Was good to the.
Sure.
To the poor people.
Right.
Here.
Right.
Real good.
Well, they liked you.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a mutually beneficial thing. Everybody
yeah.
got along.
Yeah.
It was easier because the town was a little smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
And people knew each other a little better, I think.
Yeah. They had good times. I had climbed. And right where we're sitting now was a fairground.
Oh, really?
They had a Salisbury Town Fair.
Yes.
Right on this property, right here. All this property. Salisbury Fair.
So they had people showed their livestock and their crops.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
Was it that kind of a county fair?
Yeah, and they used to. Well, they used to have a dodger. He'd stick his head through the hole in the canvas, and they'd have baseballs about this big around. They weren't hard balls.
Soft.
They were soft. They was full of probably cotton, because a lot of times, and they used to get back and they'd, I don't like to say this on the recording, because it's something to do with the colored people.
Oh, all right. Wait a minute. We'll stop for just a minute.
They used to have a balloon that went up down here, and they used to build a fire, and the smoke and the air used to go in the heat, you know, in the thing, and they go up, and a man once was going up in it, and I can remember just like it was yesterday, and they used to have hold it while it was filling up with ropes.
Yes.
And he got tangled up, and he got up there about 25 or 30 feet, and he got tangled in them ropes, and he didn't, I don't know what he done, but anyway, he fell out. And then they used to have them old wicker baby carriages.
Yes, yeah, I know what you mean.
When he landed right in this woman's baby carriage.
He was probably a little big for it.
Yeah, but he never got
hurt. He was okay.
Yeah. And then they used to take and...
How did they control the balloon to get it down again? You don't know that.
Well, they'd have to pull on one rope and flatten that side so that
mm-hmm.
and keep it doing that. But they never... There ain't nothing like the balloons of today.
Oh, no.
No.
But could people go up for rides? They would
no.
take people? Oh, no.
No.
It was just to show you what
yeah.
it was like.
Yeah. That was all.
Yeah.
And he used to be a balloon man. And spoke.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't quite old enough to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then they used to have a pig weigh about 75 pounds.
Yeah.
And they'd take and grease him with old salt pork. Rub it all over him. You know?
I'm sure he loved it, yeah.
And they would have a ring of men and a little wire fence, and if you caught the greased hog, you could keep it. He was yours.
Yeah.
And I can remember there was a man over here with an old timer named Bert Clark.
Mm-hmm.
He lived right over across here. I can remember him running, and oh, a lot of men. Oh God, they would. That pig, they'd have a hold of that hog, and he'd like, they was office looking guys, you know. They'd bring overhauls and things of purpose to run that, catch the greased hog.
Right, right. You wouldn't wear your Sunday clothes.
No, and the only one I ever see that caught one was Bert Clark. He was a short, stocky man,
mm-hmm.
strong,
mm-hmm.
and he caught greased hog once. Now, hog weighed about, I'd say probably weighed 75, between 75 and 100 pounds. And he caught him. And I can remember it was a white hog. That's what they used to call the white hogs is what they call
it. Hampshire?
New Hampshire,
yeah.
Then they had the belter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hard, and that was a black one with white stripe around him.
Mm-hmm.
And well, Bert got him anyway.
But by the leg, do you think, or maybe he just lay on top of him?
He got him by two legs. He got, dove right into him, and he got him by his front foot and his back foot. Then he was strong enough, he got the hog down on his back and mm-hmm. laid on him. But I don't know how long he had to lay there, yeah. and how they had a coop or not. But
yeah.
I remember he caught him.
He caught him.
Even my father. All
he tried
to.
Yeah.
All these raggies, you know.
Yeah.
We're raggies.
They all tried.
We're all raggies.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, my Uncle George Frick was the last man on that mountain that really run a farm.
Right. Let's stop right here and take a break.